Hello and welcome to the Monday, January 21st, 2013 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Just as a quick follow-on to the Java patch that keeps us occupied for the last couple of weeks, there's more and more evidence that the patch that was released last week really only covers a part of the vulnerability. There is no current available exploit for Java. However, standard guidance is still, if you can, turn off Java, at the very least require user interaction on engaging Java whenever you launch a Java applet. Well, Java is certainly one of those never-ending security issues. Another problem that doesn't seem to go away is passwords. Passwords pretty much have been proven to be insufficient to secure account information. However, they're just not going away because there isn't really a great alternative. The advantage of passwords are they're cheap and everybody sort of knows how to use them. Now, we do have a two-factor authentication, of course, available, but the problem with that is, in particular, if it's hardware-based, you can't possibly carry around a token for every single website that you log into. One company that does some pretty decent work to try to solve this problem, of course, is Google, and Google, to its properties, does offer a standard-based two-factor authentication for a while now. Now, Wired has an interesting article with sort of a pre-release of an IEEE article that Google is going to publish about some of the ideas they're having to solve this password problem. What it really comes down to is hardware-based token, but a standard hardware-based token that could be used across multiple websites or other applications. One token they're in particular looking into at is a YubiKey, but also the use of cell phones and other devices for two-factor. Cell phones, we have had issues with that, where the cell phone got compromised. The problem you end up with these two-factor authentication systems that are hardware-based is, what if you lose the device? And then, of course, are you just going to protect it with yet another password? Google doesn't seem to have a great answer for that. Biometrics, of course, is frequently quoted here as a solution. But the problem with biometrics is that, at least at this time, it's not reliable enough to implement cheaply. I'll add a link to the Wired article to the show notes. And then we got an update regarding the Linksys vulnerability that was announced last week. Initially, when Defense Code announced the vulnerability, they said that they notified Cisco, but Cisco told them that current versions of the firmware are not vulnerable. In a more recent email, Cisco reversed this stance and now says that Linksys routers are indeed vulnerable to this problem and that Cisco is working on a soon-to-be-released fix. And Amazon fixed a cross-site scripting vulnerability in its site that allowed access to user cookies. In this case, the forum that Amazon uses, the customer forum, was vulnerable, and it was possible to include script tags in the subject line. In this case, I would probably call that an input validation issue, but of course, with cross-site scripting, it all depends on the output encoding, and if you do allow people to use something that looks like a script tag as a subject to a forum post, which may make sense in some cases, then at least be careful in how you encode this when it's being sent back to the user. Not all Amazon sites appear to be vulnerable to this particular problem. At least the German version of Amazon was vulnerable. There is no exact list on which language versions of Amazon's were vulnerable and which ones were not. And just a couple more updates to stories from last week. First of all, the Red October botnet appears to be shutting down, and the attackers are closing down the command and control infrastructure. We have seen that in the past with some of the more targeted botnets, where the attacker really doesn't get much use out of them once the infrastructure has become known. Also, Foxit, the alternative PDF reader, is now available with patches to the latest reported vulnerability. And finally, Trend Micro reports that they found a remote access Trojan that is better than prior Trojans in actually disguising its network traffic as normal traffic. Make it look like normal HTTP, HTTPS traffic, but they can also emulate various instant messaging tools. Overall, that's not really that new. I haven't seen the traffic yet from Fakem, as Trend Micro calls the tool, to see how close they are to normal traffic. But overall, of course, Trojan always try to fit in a little bit with normal traffic. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.